Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Begin reading at verse number 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was there any place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You don't have to turn there. We're going to stay right there. But Luke 10, Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Amen. Amen. Back in Revelation 12, verse 10, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is cast down, or come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time. Praise God. I simply want to preach to you tonight about a reality of the last days. Reality of the last days. God of heaven, we love you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this service, for your presence that we have felt here in this place tonight. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you thanks today for all that you have done for us. God, you have blessed us, you have kept us, you have helped us, Lord. God, and we are so grateful and thankful to you. I pray, God, that you would help us here tonight. I pray, Jesus, that you would touch every heart and every soul, that you would open up every mind. I pray, God, that you would reveal your word and your will unto us. Give us understanding tonight, and we'll thank you and praise your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Praise the Lord. The text that we have read here tonight should paint a mental image within our minds of the mortal relationship that is between heaven and hell. It ought to enlighten us to that morbid relationship between our God and our enemy. There is nothing that is sacred. There is nothing that is good about it. It is war. It is conflict. It is the struggle of wills. It is the impending, the pushing of wills across the nation through the spiritual world. And we must always bear in mind that this is a spiritual battle. It is a spiritual battle. Nothing that we lay our eyes upon in reality is our enemy, but they are spirit. There are spirits that are backing these, that are pushing these, and that is what we are battling against, and we must bear that in mind. We know that the mother of all sin is lust. We know that the father of all sin is the devil. As James said, that when lust hath conceived, it brings forth death. Sin, the Bible teaches us, did not begin upon the earth, but rather it began in heaven. Sin did not begin in the human heart, but rather began in the soul of Lucifer. And we know that he was the highest anointed cherub there in heaven. And so sin was already old with antiquity before the fallen Lucifer introduced it into this planet when he visited Adam and Eve in the garden. Isaiah 12, 14 through 17, the Lord gives us another little snippet of what was going on in heaven. The Lord said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend up into heaven, and I will exalt myself above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. But the Lord says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. And they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Is this that individual? In other words, there is an imaginative picture of an enemy that is far greater than us. Bigger, powerful, but yet when we see him, everyone will question, is this the man that caused the earth to tremble and that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed cities thereof? Genesis chapter number 3 depicts the fall of man, in which the serpent looks at it as a win for him until God shows up to speak or to commune with Adam and Eve. And the Lord began to talk to them and began to say, who told you that you were naked? And so Lucifer is brought up into the courtroom of that judgment hall. And God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle and above every beast in the field, and upon thy belly shall thou go. And dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And so he spoke of an ongoing war that would take place as he placed enmity between the woman and the Lucifer. And he stated that in the time to come, he would put her under, or put the serpent under her heel, and that her heel would bruise his head, but also that his head would bruise her heel. Amen. And so the conflict that was there, and the punishment and the torment and the pain would be felt upon both sides. And so it brings us to a place to know that Satan does not like people. We looked into it deeper this morning of how that every soul belongs unto God, and every individual has a soul. And so we know that Satan does not like people, but rather that he hates us with a beggar's description. And his entire interest in humans is to deceive, to degrade, and to distress, and to destroy us. Because the Bible said that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And since that man was made in God's image, Genesis 1 and 27, in his likeness, the more that Satan can deface and distort that image, the more his distorted soul is satisfied. Amen. I want you to know that it's not just his will to steal you, but it's his will to destroy you. And you must understand that God does care about how that you look. Don't you ever, ever, ever mistake it. Amen. And say, God does not care about how I look. Don't ever think that God doesn't care how that you dress. God doesn't care what your hair looks like. God doesn't. I'm telling you, you are the image of the invisible God. And if the enemy of the Savior can get a hold of you, he will try to distort that image. Amen. He wants to make you. This is what the devil said. Amen. He said that it was God's will. Amen. He said, if you partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will be just like everybody else. You'll know the difference, amen. But in reality, what it was the enemy saying, you look too much like him. I've been in the heavens and I know what I'm looking for. I know what I'm looking at. And so I am here to debase and to distort that image. I am here to destroy, to mar, to bend, and to try to fire away that image. Amen. And I just simply ask you the question here today that when people backslide, what's the first thing that they begin to do? They take on the aura, they take on the personality, and they take on the image of the world. Amen. I said they take on the image of the world. It's tight, but I'm going to preach tonight. Amen. Somebody help me here today. Hallelujah. That's why we don't act like the world. That's why we don't talk like the world. Amen. That's why we don't dress like the world. Amen. That's why we don't look like the world. Amen. If you get your hairstyle out of Hollywood, you got it out of the wrong place. You ought to get your hairstyle out of the house of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But the devil wants you to take on the image of the world. The devil wants you to look, amen, more and more like the world. Hallelujah. I looked up some of these looks today, amen, and they come nothing but from a gothic world. Amen. I want you to know today that we used to look down upon gothic. But today it seems like Pentecost is embracing a gothic look. Amen. The Bible still tells us to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. The world produces no clean thing. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's why it is my desire to look more like him. It's my desire to act more like him. It's my desire to talk more like him. He's saying, somebody would say, how do you know it's like that? You got to get closer to him. And when you get closer to him, you understand the things that he likes. And you understand the things that he don't like. You understand when your conversation grieves him. Amen. And it behooves you to draw closer unto God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. I'm just saying God's been working my motor over, amen, with this for over a week now. Amen. I got to get it off of my soul today. I'm just telling you, there is a passion. There is a work of hell, of Satan, that is trying to disrupt, that is trying to change the image of the church. Amen. The devil doesn't want you to look godly. The devil doesn't want you to look holy. The devil doesn't want you to look righteous. Amen. And that's exactly what God wants you to be. God wants you to be righteous. God wants you to be holy. God wants you to be like him, because we were created in his image, in the likeness of God. Amen. But the devil said, if I can get a hold of them and I can mar them, and if I can scar them and get it to where they don't look like God anymore, he understands that he will have an upper hand in the church. But thank God for a church that says, we're not going the ways of the world. We're not embracing the things of this world. We're not going to look like the world. We're not going to act like the world. We will be separate. Amen. The Lord said, I've called you out from among them to be different than all the people that are upon the face of the earth. God chose the doctrine of separation. God chose the doctrine of being different. God wants us to be different from the people of the world. Praise God. Praise God. Some of you young men need to go check out your hairstyles. If you got them off of Hollywood, you need to get rid of them. Amen. If you got it from Leonardo DiCaprio, you didn't get it out of the Bible. Praise God. We're called out to be different. We're called out to be different. Amen. Do not belittle the agenda of hell. Hell wants to separate you from God. Hell wants to separate you from the love of God. I just want to know, amen, how close can you be to God when you're looking like the things and the people of the world? We've got to take on the image of the invisible God. It matters, it matters, it matters, it matters. Sit down. Go look at all the detail of the temple. Go look at the detail of the tabernacle. But really, look into the detail of the temple. 30 foot up in the air, you will find a completely unique ornamental design upon the top of the columns and the capitals that were there. 30 foot up in the air. You know how high that is? Number one, it's taller than this church. Number two, you're not going to see it up there. You're not going to see the detailed ornamental design of the grapes and the pomegranates and the leaves and everything that's up on top of that. But you know why God designed it like that? Because it matters to Him. He can see it. Amen. It matters to Him because He can see it. Praise God. And Satan understands this. And Satan despises this. And so we see that the more that Satan can deface and distort the image of every one of us, the more that his distorted soul is satisfied. So no matter how or who you are, he is going to constantly oppose you, even so much the more when we have been born again in the image of God, amen, that has been restored within inside of us. A basic aspect of the image of God is man in righteousness, and in holiness. Ephesians 4 and 34, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in holiness, true holiness. And so, amen, the image of God is reborn in us when we become the regenerated sinner, Titus 3 and 5, that we are washed by the washing of regeneration. We are not reformed sinners, but we are regened. We are regenerated by, amen, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we are no longer Satan's dupes, but we have become his deadly enemy. And he fears as well as hates us. Why? Because he understands that there is a greater power that is working on the inside of us. That there is one that is greater than he. That if we began to depend upon him, he cannot stop us. He cannot prevent us. But when we begin to depend upon our own good works, when we begin to depend upon our righteousness, and our righteousness is as filthy rags, and therefore it is unrighteousness. Amen. And doth the unrighteousness of man, amen, call into contact a question, the righteousness of God, Romans chapter number 3. Amen. Just simply stating here that who are we to judge God? When God begins to judge unrighteousness, we cannot take the righteousness of God and bring it down to our level of righteousness. But we must always observe that even on a good day, our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags in the sight of God. That's how pure God is. That's how holy God is. That's how absolute God is. And that is what God wants his church to resemble. Praise God. Amen. And so we take on the power of God and we never give in, even though the pressure of hell rises in opposition against us. We see that the church was born
in Acts chapter number 2. And it became the most powerful entity that the world has ever and will ever know. Amen. And we know that the church is the apple of God's eye. Amen. And we know that Satan has tried his best through Adam and Eve to destroy the individuals, through Calvary to destroy God Almighty. But when he seen that he could not do that, his attention and his focus has been upon the body of believers that is called the church. And so his desire is to inflict and to pressure the church that would cause the church to withdraw from the Lord. Now, most of us would say, no, we don't withdraw. We draw nigh unto him. But in all reality, that's not really the way that it is. And I'm going to tell you why. The Bible describes the church as sheep. Amen. Sheep do not fight back. Amen. The mentality of sheep, amen, is to flee, not to fight. Amen. To flee or to paralyze. And so when the enemy comes in like a flood, it's the Spirit of God that raises up a standard against it. It's the shepherd stepping in, amen, and bringing comfort, amen, and hope unto the body, amen. But when Satan steps in, then it causes the sheep to scatter, amen, or it causes them to paralyze in fright, amen. People grow quiet, amen. People, amen, their worship disappears. Everybody's tight and wondering, amen, what's going to happen, amen, and it's hell putting on pressure today, amen. And so I've come here tonight with a burden from God, amen, to do my very best to expose the element of hell. For we know that we are living in the end times, and the Bible teaches us that in these end times that the devil is going to release all of his fury, and he's going to come against the church. He's going to come against the church with all of his might. There's not going to be a day off. There's not going to be an easy day. As the Navy SEAL says, amen, the only easy day was yesterday. Amen. Every day is going to grow more intense. Every day is going to grow harder. Amen. But it is a determined people, amen, that's going to stand up in the face of defiance and say, we will not back down. We will not give up. We will not bow to the pressures. We will not succumb to any pressures. We will be the church. We will be united. We will come through this, and we will make heaven our home. Let's love the Lord here today. And so, the purpose of the enemy is to do his best to try to separate the church from God. Just as he was able to separate Eve and Adam from God. God came down to commune, but within a short amount of time, Adam and Eve were on the outside with an angel in between. Amen. We know that God, Christ, is the second Adam. And we are the bride of Christ. And so it is hell's desire to do everything that he can to separate the church from the bridegroom. To cause division from between the bride and the bridegroom, to cause there to be separation in all of this. And so let me talk about it here for a little while today. Number one, the enemy is going to try to cause the favor of God to be off of the church. We spent some 6 to 8 weeks talking about the favor of God and how important it is to have the favor of God, the necessity of having the favor of God. Amen. And we know that the Lord spoke to the church in Pergamos in Revelation chapter number 2. And he said, I have somewhat against you. He said that there were some good things that was going on. He said, but I have somewhat against you because that you have held to the doctrine of Balaam. And we know that Balaam is the one that taught Balak how to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. In Jude chapter number 11, amen, it was the error of Balaam. But in Revelations chapter number 2, error had turned to doctrine, and now it was the doctrine of Balaam. Or in other words, the doctrine of the stumbling block, the doctrine that causes division, the doctrine that causes separation from the bride and the bridegroom. And here was Balak telling Balaam, I want you to curse these people. And Balaam said, I cannot curse those that the favor of God is upon. And God's favor is upon this people, and there is no way that I can curse them. And several times Balak took him to a different place and said, curse them. And he said, I can't. I cannot curse what God has blessed. I cannot curse, amen, what God has his favor upon. And so Balak, irate with all of this, amen, stomping and throwing a temper tantrum, Balaam says, but I can tell you what you need to do. And here we come to the doctrine of Balaam. He said, this is what you've got to do. You've got to cast a stumbling block between them and God that would cause them to falter and to fail. He was speaking even concerning fornication. And he said, put your young ladies out before them and entice them and woo them in and have them commit fornications. And in committing fornications, God will withdraw himself from them. Amen. And when God withdraws himself from them, you won't have to do a thing. They'll be cursed themselves. That's how much the favor of God is necessary. And so it's not just the doctrine of fornication, but it's just simply the doctrine of a stumbling block. That whatsoever it is that the enemy can use as a stumbling block that would cause the favor of God to be withdrawn from the church. Amen. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, he said, if my people which are called by my name, amen, will humble themselves and pray. This is how that you get the favor of God. Amen. You've got to humble yourself. We talk about how that God hates a proud look. He despises a proud look. Pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. He said, humble yourself and pray. You've got to pray. You've got to pray. We've got to pray. We can't afford not to pray. Prayer needs to be a strength of this church. Prayer needs to be taken to heart in this church. I understand, and some of you have communicated with me, amen, about coming to Tuesday night prayer. And I want you to know that the agreement that we have between each other, amen, is still in place. There's nothing wrong with that. Some of you are living on a tight budget and can't get to church, amen, all the time. And so prayer, and if you'll pray at home, amen, take the time to pray at home, amen, and join us in a moment in a time of prayer. Amen. I believe that God would honor it. But for everybody else, the rest of us, if you have, amen, if you can be here for prayer on Tuesday night, you need to be here for prayer on Tuesday night. It's not just going to strengthen the body of the church. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to strengthen you. Amen. You need to be in prayer. You need the body of believers around you to hear them praying and lifting up their voice. And when others begin to pray, you feel the strength of that. And you begin to pray. And when you begin to pray, you feel the unction of the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God comes down and begins to move upon you. You cannot afford to forsake prayer. We must pray. I'm not diminishing the value and the importance of coming to church, but when they were getting ready to crucify Jesus, what did he do? He went to pray. He didn't go have more church. He didn't go perform miracles. He went to pray. Amen, amen. Somebody said, we just need no more miracles. I'm telling you, miracles will take care of themselves if we will learn how to pray. And when a church can't pray, and when a church won't pray, then God puts his hands in his pockets and backs off and says, I guess you don't need me. Prayer is reiterating how much that I need you, God. And so we must pray. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from the wicked ways. We've got to make sure that we're not entertaining sin. We've got to make sure that we're not harboring sin. We're not harboring spirits. Amen. We're not, amen, dealing with things that's in the world. Amen. Some of you need, I just felt it in the Holy Ghost. Some of you need to take your device and you need to put it away for a minimum of 1 week. You need to fast from that thing from 1 week. It's doing nothing but getting you in trouble. It's eating up every bit of your time. You have no time to pray, but you've got hours to play. Amen. You have no time to pray, but you've got hours to stay on a device that is not right. You need to put it away. You need to get back in the book. You need to get back on your knees. You need to make time for God in all of this. Amen. Turn from their wicked ways. Amen. He said, I will hear their cry and he would heal their land. If we want revival in this church, this needs to be the theme of it all. This needs to be the foremost of it all. We're going to preach Acts 2:38. We're going to preach that every soul belongs to God. Amen. Even the sinner that is out there, their soul belongs to God. We're going to preach about relationship with God. We're going to preach about love of God. We're going to preach about loving God. But friend, we've got to have the favor of God upon this place so that when they hear about this, they can feel the power of God. Let's love him. Let me move on. And so he will cause the favor of God to be off of them. Or he will cause apathy to set upon a church. And rather than being a revival church, it will be an existent church. Just existing. The church of Laodicea had need of nothing. Rich increase with goods and have need of nothing. Well, preacher, I got me and my family here. I think that's good enough. I don't need anything else. That's not of God. That's not of God. Amen. Was an apathetic spirit, amen, that pervaded the last days of Jesus Christ. Amen. They fell asleep while he was praying. Right before that, the virgins, 10 virgins, they all fell asleep. And right before that, the good men of the house fell asleep. Amen. All before the last days of Jesus. And it is a spirit of apathy that will be in the last days. When hell is working overtime, it'll be a church that wants to just rest. It'll be a church that doesn't want to. Amen. Preacher, we do too many things too often. We're too busy. We just need a self time. Self time for what? To sit at home and play and scroll on a device? Because that's typically what's going to happen. We've got to have time for God. Amen. It is a powerless church that was depicted in the end day, in the end times. When a certain man, brought his son that was vexed with an unclean spirit and said, Lord, I took him to your church and they couldn't cast the devil out of him. He said, I took him to your disciples. He said, your disciples tried to cast the devils out and they couldn't do it. And Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? And he rebuked that spirit and cast that spirit out. And the church came to Jesus a little bit later and they said, Lord, they said, why couldn't we cast him out? He said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. prayer and fasting. Amen. But we are too caught up, amen, in our life to pray like we need to pray and to fast like we need to fast. Every one of us have a million reasons why that we cannot fast. And it all boils down to self-will. I want to use a doctor's excuse. I want to use this excuse. I want to use that excuse. I want to use all of these excuses so that I don't have to fast. If we want to be a church that can match the end time spirits that is upon the face of the earth, if we want to be a church that can make a difference in a bound up world, then we must pray and we must fast. We've got to do it. We've got to do it. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to approach this next one because these next two is what I feel very, very strongly. And I'm going to approach these next two with extreme caution. And I want you to hear me out. And this next one, I'm going to do my best to not get to not get loud. And I really don't even care if you say amen. I want you to hear me today. Amen. Because this is what God dealt with me in prayer. This is what I cannot get past. This is what I have prayed and prayed and prayed about. And this is what I feel and how that I feel God would have me, amen, to speak of it. Praise God. But the devil will do anything. That we understand and know the devil does not play fair. He does not play fair at all. He doesn't care whose feelings he hurts. He doesn't care who he offends. He doesn't care about anything. And the last thing that he cares about is you. He doesn't care about you whatsoever at all. Zero, nada, none, zilch. All he cares about is separating you from God. All he cares about is what can I do and how can I do it to separate them away from God and to push them off into eternity. That's all that he cares about. And so if he can get sin within inside of a church, he'll do it. And so we're not here to pat sin and to play with sin. Sin is wrong. And don't get mad at the preacher when he's got to stand up and preach against sin. I told my boys multiple times at different times and stuff, you know, we would have to go in and get the Board of Education apply to the seat of knowledge. And they would be mad at me. I said, what are you mad at me? You're the one that broke the rule. I didn't do this. I set the rule. The rule's already made. You know the rules. I didn't do that. I didn't break them. You broke them. And you know the consequences of breaking the rule. What are you mad at me for? You ought to be mad at yourself. So don't get mad at the preacher when you break the rules. It's God got to take care of business. And so God, and so the devil wants to do that. He wants to sow and tempt and throw sin in there. And then he wants you to, let me rephrase that. He dares the preacher to say anything about it because then what it is that preacher is a big bad meanie. He's just a big meanie. I'm a meanie because I'm preaching the Bible. I'm a meanie because I preach, amen, against sin. But that's typically the way that it goes. And the devil dares him. Go ahead. Confront it. Confront it. You'll lose them. Go ahead. And yet it's got to be dealt with. Because if not, it spreads. And if not, we don't have the favor of God upon us. We've got to have the favor of God upon us. And then there's the lack of concern and care. Amen. An apathetic church. And the devil wanting to rock everybody to sleep and say, you know what? It's okay. You don't have to be so wild. It's okay. Just calm down. We don't have time to calm down. But the devil's going to do everything that he can to separate the bride from the bridegroom. And so he brings about division. He'll cause the favor of God to be removed. He'll cause apathy, and he'll do whatever he can to bring division. Paul spoke with
and wrote unto a church an entire letter, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And he started off in the first chapter talking about the division that was among them in the body. He said, I've heard that there are divisions among you, and that ought not to be so. And even all the way up into chapter number 10 of the same book, he's still talking and dealing with division. Amen. You want the preacher to get off of it in 45 minutes. If anybody can read 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 in 45 minutes, I'll get off of it in 45 minutes. What I'm saying is Paul got long-winded. And Paul stayed on the subject. But Paul had to deal with the subject. It's a wound. And if you don't deal with a wound, and then there's infection that's there, and it causes gangrene in the body. And so, I know, and you know, that there has been some carefulness, some intimidation's not the right word to use, because it's just not. It's not intimidation. But you and I know that there has been some uneasiness in the body. And so I'm just going to address it like this. Just bear with me today. When all of this COVID stuff first came out, almost we all knew this is going to draw lines in the church. Whether we like it or not, it's going to draw lines. It's going to do its best to bring division. Amen. How? Because there were some churches that stayed open and there were other churches that didn't. And so there was division within the body. There were those that stayed open, and there were people inside saying, this is ridiculous. We're being condemned and sent to hell because that we're coming to church, and we have to come to church. And we're all going to get the disease, and we're all going to pass away and die. And it's going to be that preacher's fault. And on the other side, you got preachers that are saying, we're going to do this the smart way. And we're not going to open our doors. And we're going to do it a live stream. And we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And you got those people that's saying, this is ridiculous. The Bible said to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And here's the preacher telling us to disobey the law. Well, I encourage you to go back and to find out what the ideal of the church was back in the Old Testament. What we know of the church today is called Western civilization. So you're telling me that all the missionaries are wrong and going to hell because that they don't assemble in a building like this and have church? That they don't have the guts to assemble? I don't believe so. I don't believe it at all. They're doing what they have to do in order to continue to spread the gospel. Amen. Praise God. And so it's uncharted waters. It's dangerous waters. It's uncharted. And we are asked to depict and to decide what we are going to do in dangerous situations and stuff. And for the most part, we don't have an answer. Praise God. That's the truth. All right? But it's evolved past all of that. And it's gotten into the vaccine. And I'm going to hit this very quickly, and I'm going to move because I want to make the point here. And that is that we have people in this church that have taken the vaccine. We have people in this church that haven't taken the vaccine. All right? So what are we going to do? This is what we're going to do. Absolutely nothing. You know what we're going to do? We're going to love one another. We're going to encourage one another. We're going to lift one another up. And we are going to pray for one another. Because every man has got to be sure in his mind the steps that he is taking. And so, if those that have not taken the vaccine, I don't want anyone to condemn or to critique or to speak bad of it whatsoever at all. They are your brothers. They are your sisters. They need your prayers. You pray for them.
You lift them up in prayer. You encourage them. And you strengthen them. But do not create division. God hates division. He hates it. So don't get a snotty attitude and look down upon them or critique them or criticize those that are taking a stand that refuse to take, amen, the vaccine. We're not going to let that division in this church. We're going to pray. And they are our brothers and they are our sisters. We're going to do everything we can to support them. Praise God. And the shoe fits the other foot as well. There are those that have taken the vaccine. And for those of you that have taken the vaccine, I have not. I'm not going to critique and condemn you and criticize you for doing so. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We're going to pray for one another. But we're not going to let Satan's tactics divide the church. We're not going to do it. The Bible said, the Lord said, He said, there are six things that I hate. And He talked about a proud look. He said, but he that soweth discord among the brethren. God said, I hate it. I hate it. It's an abomination unto God. To sow discord among the brethren. And so if you find somebody sowing discord among the brethren, you better step back. God may just strike them with lightning. Praise God. But we've got to be united as brothers and sisters for Christ. Praise God. Be seated. Amen. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but Brother Doug came to me and he said, I'd like to talk to you. We had a very, very productive talk, didn't we? We had a very, very productive talk. And I respect, amen, a man that'll talk about it. Amen. And he'll tell you I'm easy to talk to. You just need to come talk to me. We just need to talk about it. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But I love Brother Doug. And I'm there for you, brother. You need my prayers. I'm praying for you. Amen. But we will not let a spirit of division creep into the church. It'll destroy a church extremely quick. Amen. I pastored a church, amen, that went from some 30-something to midweek service. We was averaging about 67 to 71 on midweek service. When we took the church, we was having right at 30, 25 to 30. And our record attendance was 97. But I want you to know that division destroyed that church just like that. Because it pulls the favor of God from it. Amen. I want the favor of God. I want the favor of God. Praise God. We got to have the favor of God. And we got to be united for a cause. We got to be brothers. We got to be sisters in this thing. You are my family. And I'll stand by your side and I'll fight hell with you, but I'm not about to fight you and hell. But as long as we're unified against a cause, I'll fight with you. But that's the way of the enemy. The enemy wants to come in and he wants to create division. Amen. But we're standing up against it in Jesus' name and we're saying, not here. Not through my lips. Not in my ear. No way, devil. I ain't being a part of that. In Jesus' name, it's over. Praise God. One more area that I want to talk about. And this is something that I feel very passionately and very strongly about. And that is that Satan would love to try to divide the church from God
because of delay. Delay. First of all, Jesus said, "Shall I find faith? When the Son of Man cometh again, shall he find faith upon the face of the earth?" And so there is that. But there's something that goes deeper than all of that. And it's, the Bible says that hope that is deferred maketh the heart sick. And we've got to bear in mind that this is a spiritual battle. Beyond things that we can see. Daniel was a man that prayed 3 times a day. You're an awesome dude. And this praying man named Daniel that would pray 3 times a day could not see what was going on in the heavens. He could not see it. He didn't understand why there was a delay. And so he's praying. And he continues to pray. And 21 days later, he's fallen upon his face. And an angel of the Lord puts his hand upon his shoulder and says, "Stand up." And trembling, Daniel stands up. And the angel tells him, "I'm here to tell you why your answer has been delayed." He said, "God heard you the first time that you prayed. And the very moment that you prayed, God said, come here. You see that man that's down there praying? Take him this answer. You go down here and you tell him this. This is his answer. Go." And in the process of going, to Daniel, through the spiritual world, the prince of Persia met up with the angel. And there was war in the heavens. And the prince of Persia struggled against the angel. And the angel was saying, "I've got an answer to deliver." And the spirit was saying, "You're not delivering that answer. Because if you don't deliver that answer, it's going to kill their faith. If I can stop and prevent you from delivering the answer, they'll stop praying. And so I'm going to fight you." And there was a battle and there was a fight. And the angel could not gain ground. He could not. And all of a sudden, here's the prayers continuing to come. And God looks at all these prayers stacking up and he beckons more angels. And he sends them down. And the angel says, "I was on my way, but I was deterred by the prince of Persia until another angel came and helped me. And I've got to go back to continue to fight. But I've come to give you the answer." And so, church, we cannot be weary in well-doing. But we've got to continue being steadfast. We've got to continue doing what we know is right. Even when the answer does not come immediately. And we pray and we pray and we pray and we say, "God, we want revival. God, send revival. God, send us souls. Lead us to souls." But we're hungry. We want to see people filled with the Holy Ghost. We want to use the baptistry. We want to baptize people in your name. Lead us to people. Draw people unto us. Draw people unto the church. Open up a door of conversation. A door of utterance, God. Do something. But love somebody through me. And it doesn't happen. And it doesn't happen. And it doesn't happen. We can't stop praying. God, I need a miracle in my life. Sickness. I'm just telling you what I feel in the Holy Ghost. that there are miracles that are to happen in this church. And when I heard the young people singing that song, I just thought, God, this is confirmation for that. Because I believe with all of my heart, I believe that God wants to do mighty miracles in this building. I believe that God wants to do mighty miracles, amen, through this church. And I believe that God wants to start right here in His people. I can't tell you the number of times that I have been upon my face praying for miracles to happen, praying for God to heal Brother Charlie, praying for God to heal Sister Stacy, praying for God to heal Sister Christine's sister, praying for God to reach Nellie, praying for God to touch your lost loved ones and those that are in the hospital. Amen. Praying for these things to happen and it's not happening. And we're laying hands upon the sick and nothing's happening. But do we stop? We can't afford to stop. We got to continue to pray today just as we prayed the first time. And one of these days, friend, the Holy Ghost is going to break through. One of these days, the answer is going to come through. One of these days, we're going to lay hands on them and they're going to receive their healing immediately. Joints are going to be loosed. Sickness is going to be healed. Amen. Disease are going to be raised up. Cancer is going to be cured. They're going to come from everywhere because of the testimonies that have been given out. Amen. And blessings of God. And God is going to add to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's love the Lord here tonight as we stand. It's the reality of end time. And we cannot stop. We cannot be weary in well doing. We can't stop preaching holiness so that we can woo in the masses. We can't stop preaching separation. We can't stop preaching division. We can't stop preaching against apathy and lethargy. And we can't stop praying. And we can't stop fasting. And we can't let little things destroy us. There's going to be little nuances, little things that's going to pop up here and there. And we just deal with them and move on. But when we sit there and begin to reside in that land and let the bitterness of death overcome us, the devil wins. But we've got to stand together for a common cause of winning the lost. Winning the lost. We've got to reach the lost. Some way, somehow, we've got to reach them. And when they come into this place, they're going to have to find a church that's got the favor of God upon it. They're going to have to be like a Donna that says, I don't understand what's up with this little church. But I've been to Joel Olstein's church. And I've been to the Second Baptist Church, where they have their masses of thousands upon thousands upon thousands. And I've never felt in those churches what I feel in this church. It'll happen. It'll happen. We'll have revival. The answer is going to come. It's going to come. Hallelujah. Why don't we just lift our hands and let's pray here today. Let's search our hearts. Let's see if there be anything that God's not happy and God's not pleased with. Oh, Jesus, I want you to be pleased with my coming. and my going. I want you to be pleased with my life. That when I bring a petition before you, God, I want you to know that I'm bringing it with a sincere heart. And I want my heart to be pure, and I want my heart to be clean. I want to be right before you, Jesus. I want to do that which is right. I don't want to be guilty of speaking against my brother or my sister, and you turn in your favor from me, God. I want to be called upon in a moment of prayer. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. God, we as a church body, we need you today. We need you this day, God. We need you to be with us, God. We need you to lighten the path, Lord Jesus, and cause us to see the tendencies of the enemy, the deception of the enemy, oh God. God, cause us to be able to function like we need to function, God. God, touch the womb of this church and cause it to be with child. Lord, that many souls would be born into this church, God. That the altars of this assembly would be full on a continual basis, God, of sinners in need of the Holy Ghost. With people weeping and crying out to you, God. Finding grace in the time of need. Oh, Jesus, use us, God, to reach everybody that can be reached, God. Use us, God, to reach key families, Lord. Use us, God, to get into the homes of key individuals, Lord, that we might be able to see many, many, many people saved, oh God. I pray, God, that through the Holy Ghost, some way, somehow, that you would let our efforts, God, not go unrewarded, Lord. It's not for our kingdom, it's for your kingdom, God. And I realize, God, that you glean from fields that you do not sow in. And the law says that if we sow bountifully, we shall reap bountifully, God. God, and everybody that we invite to church may never come, but I believe that you're going to drop, amen, an invitation in somebody's heart, and they are going to come. Those that we invite, they may come immediately. They may come in 3 years. They may come in 20 years if you tarry, God. But the seed has been planted. But somewhere along the line, God, you've got a soul that's crying out. A soul that belongs to you. That's crying out for mercy. That's crying out for help. We want to be the body of believers. We want to be the church. We want to be the saints. We want to be part of the bride that you say this is where the hurting needs to come. God, that we would be we would bear the responsibility of wrapping up the wounded and the hurt and pouring the oil in, God. Amen. And letting the Holy Ghost heal their broken hearts. Oh, God, and save their sin-sick souls, God. God, we will take and accept the responsibility, God, to take care of the babies that you send our way. To love them, to train them, to teach them, to guide them, to encourage them, to lift them up, God, to pick them up, God. We accept the responsibility, God. We desire it, God. We want to be your church. We want to be the favor of Augusta. We want to be the favor of Andover. We want to be the favor of El Dorado. We want to be the favor of Butler County. We want to be the favor of this area, God. We want to do all that we can do. We want to reach every possible soul that we can possibly reach, God. We desire to do that, God. It's our heartbeat. It's our desire, God. Lead us to the hungry souls, oh God, and save them. Save them. I pray, God, that you would reach down into this place tonight and that you would touch our altars, that the holy fire of God would be upon them, God, and that every chain would be loose. Every lock, God, would be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. God, let the sinner find liberty in the altar. Let him find salvation in the altar. Let him find healing in the altars, oh God. But oh God, don't let the devil bind up our altars, God.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God, we refuse to give place to the devil. We refuse to give in to gossip and dissension. We refuse, oh Lord God, to bow, God, to the elements of the world, God, in worldliness, Lord. God, we proudly stand before you, bearing the image of the King, as ambassadors of this world. Amen, unto this world of heaven. Oh, God, we stand for you, Jesus, and we refuse, God, to give in to lethargy. We refuse to give in to apathy, Lord God, but we want to be busy about your business. Jesus, even as you said, I must be about my Father's business. God, so is the call, the cry, the burden of the church. We must be about the Father's business. Oh God, we want to be busy for your cause. God, we want to be busy about your things. Oh God, we want to find a soul, another soul. God, give us Bible studies. Give us Bible studies. God, give us home Bible studies. Open up home Bible studies for us, God. The home Bible studies that have concluded, we thank you for them, God. But we will not be satisfied. God, help us to find more to teach a Bible study unto, God. Oh God, don't let us ever stop doing that. God, help us to be emphatic. Help us to be zealous about teaching somebody about you, about teaching somebody about the Holy Ghost, about teaching somebody about salvation. Oh God, we want to do our part for your kingdom, God. Help us, oh Lord Jesus, God, to not feel good about ourselves if we go through the day without ever inviting somebody to the house of God. Let it weigh upon us. Let it weigh upon us. Let it weigh upon us, oh God. Oh God, help us to realize, Lord, the opportunities that you are putting, amen, at our doorstep, the opportunities that we face on a day-to-day basis. Somebody, everybody needs God, but somebody is there, Lord. Amen. Because it's your will that we talk to them. God, we want to see miracles in this church. We want to see healings. We want to hear testimonies right here in this church. God, you see, Lord Jesus, the diseased in the body. You see the sick in the body. You see the hurting in the body. Oh, God. I'm praying, God, that you would bring miracles about. I'm praying, God, that you would save souls. I'm praying, God, that you would heal your saints. I'm praying, God, that you would raise people up. I'm praying, God, that you would bless them, Lord. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Oh, God. But I cannot stop, Lord. I know, God, that you have spoken to me, and you have impressed upon my heart that if we would continue to press, that the answers will come, that the miracles will take place, but we cannot stop. God, help me as the pastor to encourage your saints, to love your saints, to lift them up, God. God, to do what I need to do, to be what I need to be, God. Oh, God. Amen, so that we could have your favor upon us, Lord. Oh, God, I accept the responsibility of standing upon the wall and watching out, God, for the wolves. I accept the responsibility of bearing the burden upon my chest and upon my shoulders of your people, God, to pray for them, Lord. Oh, God, I pray your blessings upon them. I pray healing upon them. I pray, God, that you would touch them. I pray that you would use them. I pray, God, that you would be as good to them as you've been to me and better. I pray, God, that you would pour out your abundant blessings upon them. I pray, God, that whatsoever they do, that it shall prosper. God, those that have taken a stand, God, against all that has come against the world. Lord, and the pressures that have been placed upon God. I'm praying, God, that you would honor that faithfulness. I'm praying, God, that you would go above and beyond and provide. I'm praying, God, that you would come through, Jesus, in every situation. I'm praying, God, that you would do a work, a miraculous work, oh God. Amen. Where hell has thought, God, that it succeeded. Where hell has thought that it has pressed down. God, your spirit causes it to come forth and to blossom, Lord. Where hell thinks that it's destroyed. Oh God, in reality, the seed was broken. The seed had fallen into the ground and died. And it shall bring forth abundantly. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Praise God.